This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Christina Ricci has a reputation for playing characters that are young, troubled, and kind of kinky. It's the type of character she played in the drama The Ice Storm and in the comedies The Opposite of Sex and Pecker. Even the child she played in The Addams Family and its sequel was gloomy and cynical. Ricci made her first film, Mermaids, at the age of 9. She's now 21. In her new film, The Man Who Cried, she plays a young Jewish woman who ends up in France in the early days of World War II, after having fled her village in Russia when it was burned to the ground. She and everyone she meets has to make moral decisions about how far they're willing to go to survive. Ricci told me that she welcomed the chance to be in a period film. She says her character was written with traits a contemporary young woman would be unlikely to have. I asked her to explain.
Susie is a 20-year-old girl going through probably some of the hardest things I can imagine a human being going through. And it seems like this period of time when almost everyone in Europe was going through such hardships, they didn't have the luxury of the kind of pessimism and cynicism that we have today. Today, if you go through something really difficult, you have the luxury of being sarcastic about it, becoming a cynical person. And if they paused enough to do that during this time period, they would not have survived. So it created character traits in people of this time that were kind of incredibly optimistic and hopeful, and bad things happened to them, and they just kept going because they were so hungry for happiness and so driven to survive and get through all of the horrors that were happening to them.
Were there any mannerisms or ways of speaking that you have that you had to consciously not use?
No, the only thing that consciously I had to do was, of course, I'm supposed to have a British accent. So that was something that I learned with a coach, and I had a coach on set. And that was difficult only in that I'm a very unconscious actress. I don't really like to think about what I'm doing while I'm doing it. So it was difficult for me to all of a sudden have to think about every single syllable as it was coming out of my mouth.
Most of your time on camera, you're really watching and reacting and not speaking.
Yeah, that was lucky. I did not have to speak that often.
Let's talk about your early work. You were discovered by a casting agent, I believe, when you were in a school play.
It wasn't a casting agent. It was one of the other. It was one of the other kids' mothers, and she was a critic, a theater and film critic for a local newspaper in New Jersey. But her son had been doing commercials for years, and so she suggested to my parents that they might want to get me started in it as well.
And what was your parents' reaction to that?
My mother did not want me to have anything to do with it. Apparently, similar offers had been made to all of my older siblings, and she had always said no. But because my siblings were older, they kind of had the presence of mind to tell her that to kind of bully her into letting me decide.
Oh, because they've been through it once, and this time they wanted you to make up your mind?
Well, they didn't realize that they had. Apparently, no one had ever told them. But now, I mean, my oldest brother's 8 years older than me. So he was, 16 and decided that I should have the right as an 8-year-old to audition for things if I wanted to.
And did your mother offer you that right?
Oh, yeah. She was bullied into it. Pretty much.
And you wanted to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good idea. Basically, it was explained to me, you know, in very childish terms, like, oh, you could be on TV. And I was like, yeah, who doesn't want to be on TV?
So did you get commercials at first?
Yeah, I did about 10 commercials over like a year and a half long period, and then I got Mermaids.
What were the commercials for?
Cereal, dolls, curtains, stuff like that.
So how did you go from commercials to your first movie, Mermaids?
When you're a kid, they're really impressed when you can read properly. So they don't really think that you have any specific talent. So you're sent on everything: print work, commercial work, movies, television, musicals, theater. So I went on every kind of audition there was, and eventually I just started getting movies.
How did you feel as a kid being judged by strangers all the time?
It didn't bother me when I was a kid.
bothers you now?
Well, no, it bothered me when I became a teenager. As I think, you know, I was a teenager, so everything bothered me. But, you know, when I was a kid, it all made perfect sense. Like, yeah, they're seeing lots of people to see who's, you know, who fits the best in their film. And my mother was really good. She kind of explained to me that it had very little to do with me personally, and I should always remember that. So I kind of always believed that.
Was she always with you on the set when you were a child?
Yeah, she was. She was also probably one of the best things I had that helped me be successful as a child, because when you're a kid, your mother is with you at all times. So one of the main things producers look at when they're looking to hire a child is what the mother's like, because they're going to have to deal with that mother on set all the time. And my mom was so great and so easy to work with and level-headed and just sort of more helpful to a film production than hurtful, the way a lot of these crazy mothers are, that I always got a great report, and she always got a great report, and I was hired more because of her.
Christina Ricci is my guest, and she's now starring in the new movie, The Man Who Cried. How'd you get the part in Adam's Family?
Actually, I almost didn't go on that audition. I was going that day on, like, my fourth audition for a television movie, I think it was. And I had this big dramatic scene where I had to cry and everything. And I went and did that audition, and I was just so tired afterwards that my mom said, okay, we've got one more audition to go on. And I was like, no, Ma, I just want to go home. I'm tired. And she was like, okay, we can go home if you want to. But, I mean, it's supposed to be a really big audition. And it was on the way to the Port Authority in New York. So I was kind of like, okay, fine, we'll go. And I just went in and auditioned, and like a couple months later, we got a call from some people who had worked on Mermaids. And they said that they were working on the Addams Family, and they had just been in a production meeting in which they were discussing casting, and they said that they had worked with me and my mother and had told the producers and everything how easy we were to work with and how great we were. And then like a week after they called, we were called in for a callback, and I went in for my callback and then found out after that I got the movie.
Why don't you describe the character that you play in The Addams Family?
Well, Wednesday is, she is a morbid, kind of very stoic, unemotional child, meant to be sort of disturbing in her stoicism, I guess.
And she's going to see the dark side of everything.
Yeah, I think more so she just doesn't see the bright side of anything.
Six of one. Okay, let's hear a scene from the sequel, Addams Family Values. And this is a scene where you know, you've been sent to summer camp for rich kids. And you're in one of those The Pilgrims Meet the Indians kind of plays.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you're playing a Native American. And one of the rich girls in the camp is playing the pilgrim, and she's welcoming you and the other Native Americans to the pilgrim's dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to our table, our new primitive friends. Thank you, Sarah Miller. You're the most beautiful person I've ever seen. Your hair is the color of the sun. Your skin is like fresh milk. And everyone loves you. Stop! Sit. Wait.
What?
We cannot break bread with you.
Huh? Becky, what's going on?
Wednesday!
You have taken the land which is rightfully ours. Years from now, my people will be forced to live in mobile homes, on reservations. Your people will wear cardigans and drink highballs. We will sell our bracelets by the roadsides. You will play golf and enjoy hot hors d'oeuvres. My people will have pain and degradation. Your people will have stick shifts. The gods of my tribe have spoken. They have said, do not trust the pilgrims, especially Sarah Miller.
Gary, she's changing the words.
And for all these reasons, I've decided to scalp you and burn your village to the ground.
Christina Ricci, how close was your part in Addams Family and Addams Family Values to your sensibility?
Sensibility might have been close, just in terms of, I think that Charles Addams probably had quite a bit. I mean, there's quite a bit of irony in the creation of these characters, especially in the little girl that that refuses to show any emotion whatsoever, and just behaves completely opposite from you know, our little cute stereotype of a young girl. I've always been sort of a typical girly girl. I played soccer up through high school and shopped at the Gap and did the Cindy Crawford workout video, and, you know, just with a little bit more sarcasm and cynicism than I guess a lot of kids my age had. But I think that was more from just being around older people my whole life. As I said, my oldest brother is 8 years older than me, so, you know, I was always around older kids. So I think I adopted, at a very early age, a much more sarcastic attitude and sense of humor than a lot of girls my age had.
My guest is Christina Ricci. Her new film is called The Man Who Cried. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Christina Ricci. She made her film debut at the age of 9 in Mermaids. Her other films include The Addams Family, The Opposite of Sex, The Ice Storm, and Pecker. She stars in the new movie, The Man Who Cried. You know, like most teenagers really worry about whether they're going to be popular and whether they're hip or not. Since you were making movies when you were a mm-hmm. teenager, is that something that you didn't have to worry about? Because
very
what could be hipper
so.
Than making movies?
Yeah, very much. I mean, basically, because I was making movies and I never wanted anyone to dislike me because of it or feel jealous, I always sort of tried to be the least conspicuous. I never competed when I was in school for anything. I never wanted to be better than anyone in my high school at anything. I never wanted to be the most popular because I felt like I already had enough reasons for girls to be jealous of me. I didn't want to create other ones. And I also never had, like, one clique of friends. Because I guess I wasn't interested in sort of social dominance, I floated in and out of a lot of different groups of people, which was really great. And yeah, it definitely helped to take a lot of pressure off that I think a lot of high school kids feel. I didn't have that kind of pressure because I had something else that also was such a source of confidence for me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was good at something. I knew that I had a place somewhere, a very specific place. I knew my value. So it took a lot of the insecurity out of my high school life that I think most kids feel.
Another thing that I think a lot of kids find really important, particularly in high school and maybe in college too, is to dress in such a way that you're making a statement about who you are.
Yeah, well, I still like to do that. I still try to dress like a punk rocker. even though it was like, yeah, you're punk, you're making Casper. So it was pretty silly, but I still tried to.
Let me get to your movie, The Opposite of Sex.
Okay.
It's a great film. And it's a very warped movie for your first real adult film. You play a 15-year-old who's really angry at the world, including your half-brother, Because you're in such a bad mood about the whole world, you steal away his gay boyfriend and convince the boyfriend to have sex with you. Let's hear the scene in which you're first trying to convince your brother's boyfriend that he shouldn't be gay and that, you know, he should try things with you. You're both at the swimming pool. He's just gotten out of the water.
He's like, what, 20 years older than you?
It's 9. Sometimes 10, depending on the month.
Have you always been a mo?
Yeah, I guess.
You've never slept with a girl?
Nope. Never came up.
So to speak, right?
Well, it's just not for me.
How would you know if you've never tried it?
Well, I never tried communism, but I know I wouldn't like that. It's the same thing. Or grits.
Have you ever slept with a black person?
No. No, I don't think so.
Because you know you wouldn't like it.
No, I don't know that. I mean,
so even though you've never tried either, you'd have sex with a black person, but not with me. God, it's like reverse discrimination. Quotas.
Is it?
Yeah, it's prejudice.
Did your family have any concerns about you playing this part because of all the assertive sex in it?
No,
you play a pretty kinky character.
Well, I play a 16-year-old who has more sex than I think people really want to know their kids have. I also play, this character's also, it's insinuated that she's sexually abused as a child, and she has an alcoholic mother. So, you know, it's not very strange sort of acting out for sort of an abused teen. My mother read the, and also the way it's presented is really humorous. It's taking things.
It's very
like,
funny, yeah.
The thing is, like, with this movie, it's taking things that can be really painful and laughing at them, which is the way a lot of people deal with pain in their lives. And my mother read the script before I did, and she was the one who said, oh, Christina, you have to read this. It's exactly your sense of humor. You'll love it. So my parents, no, they had no problem. I mean, my mother knew that I was an intelligent person who wouldn't be, and strong enough in my own, like, mental state that playing a character like this wouldn't make me be this character. And because I played a character like this, it didn't mean that I was this character before.
Now, I think your father was a therapist who did a lot of primal scream work.
Mm-hmm.
Did he encourage you to always introspect about your emotions and think about your emotions?
No, I'm very much the other way. I don't like talking about my emotions on sets. Like, I don't really like rehearsing because it means we're going to talk about imaginary people's emotions. And that always, I think it's something left over from being a teenager. Like, that always irritated me. So, yeah, no, I actually have the other thing where I'm very sort of against discussing my emotions.
And did you ever overhear any of the primal scream therapy that your father was doing?
Yeah, he tried to soundproof the basement, but he didn't really succeed, and it used to come up through a vent into my bedroom. But, I mean, they were screaming, so it wouldn't have been very hard to overhear.
How old were you when he was doing that?
I was, I think somewhere between 8 and 10.
Did it scare you to hear his patients screaming?
No, by that age, I already had a pretty good sense of the ridiculous, and I actually thought it was hysterically funny. I mean, when I think about the memory, I have this strong sense of me rolling my eyes and, like, trying to go back to sleep.
Were you exposed to many different screams that you're able to draw on now in your work as an actress if screaming is required?
No, not really. They always kind of scream the same way. Like that forced, I'm screaming because I've been told to kind of scream.
Right.
Which is it's a little odd.
Christina Ricci is my guest. One of the things you're doing now is that you have your own production company.
Mm-hmm.
Are there certain kind of roles that you feel you need to produce the movie in order to get? Or, you know, do you think there's a shortage of movies that you're interested in? I guess I'm wondering why you feel the need to be a producer now.
Well, I've always loved movies, and I've been, you know, acting in movies for 12 years. So I think that it was sort of natural progression for me to start to want to be more involved in actually making movies. And then, you know, I came across a lot of scripts that needed help getting put together, and sort of established this production company so that I would have a legal title under which to kind of get these movies made. I think people just look in the wrong places. They're looking to already established writers and already established directors when the most interesting stuff is coming from people who've never directed a film in their lives. And from that well, there's so much excellent material.
A lot of people who started off as child stars end up having really serious emotional problems, financial problems. They're in support groups, you know, with the other former child stars. You see just these awful features.
The child star support groups. That's something I'd like to see.
Yeah, it seems like you've gone through this pretty well, though. That, you know, your parents didn't embezzle your own money, and, you know, you weren't like terribly mistreated. You're not an emotional cripple.
I've always had a very good sense of humor. I think that's probably the best thing. Even when I was a little kid, like, I never took anything that seriously. I always thought everything warranted a bit of laughter. So I never really felt stress, and I never felt like any of this really mattered. I mean, I came from I came from a world where people were, you know, lawyers or you know, mechanics. They worked real jobs in a real town. So acting to me was something I got to do. It was like a privilege. It was something that I was lucky that I was doing it, and it may last forever. It may have lasted only 2 months. So I wasn't about to take something that to me seemed so fantasy-like serious. So I think that's why it never caused any problems for me. It was because it never seemed real to begin with.
Well, Christina Ricci, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Christina Ricci is starring in the new film, The Man Who Cried. This is Fresh Air.